Let's go back in our Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. The Bible says, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen." Now, here's what we did. Last week, we started talking about the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. Now, what we did last week, we learned specific names about the Holy Spirit. In the Bible, we learned that he's called the Holy Ghost. He's called the Spirit of Holiness. He's called the Comforter. He's called the Spirit of Grace. He's called the Spirit of Life. He's called the Spirit of Truth. He's called the Spirit of God. He's called the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, the Oil of Gladness, the Spirit of Promise. Then last week we learned about that his attributes are very much the same as the attributes of God the Father, in that he's eternal, he's omnipresent, he's omniscient. He is one that's omnipotent, if you will. He's holy and he's true. Then we learned this, that he has a work that he does. He is a person. He's not an it. He is not a thing. He is not, listen to me, an influence. He is a person. We see every time that the Holy Spirit is mentioned that the Holy Spirit never draws attention to himself, but rather the Holy Spirit testifies of Jesus Christ. We see the Holy Spirit convicts men. We see that the Holy Spirit seals the believer onto the day of redemption. We see that the Holy Spirit is the one that empowers us when we go soul winning. We see the Holy Spirit guides the children of God. The Holy Spirit leads the saved to understand the Word of God. We see the Holy Spirit will raise us during that which is the time of the rapture. We see that the Holy Spirit provides assurance to that which is salvation. And by submitting to him, we can have victory every day in our life. Now, let's notice some other things about the Holy Spirit. Once you take your Bible tonight, and let's follow along in the Bible. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the Bible says here in verses 19 and 20, where it says in the latter portion here, listen to what it says here. It says, "Quench not the Spirit," says, "despise not a prophesy." All right, so here's what he's saying. He said that there is a way to quench the Spirit. Now, here's what the word quench means. It means to put out the fire. Did you know that you can quench your children's spirit? Did you know if you're some type of coach over a sports team, you can quench the player's spirit whereby they will not give their best? Did you know if you're somebody who owns a business, you can quench the spirit of the person whereby that person will not give their very, very best? All right. Now, God says that we're not supposed to quench the Spirit of God. Now, that means that you use, okay, and Brother Bulkley, if you'll come, please, and just hold this like you're getting ready to spray it. Don't pull it, okay? But that means this. That means that it's like a fire extinguisher, and you can quench the Spirit. You put out the fire. Now, you got to be careful. You got to be careful. You got to be careful around Brother Bulkley. You got to be careful that you don't get around somebody that quenches your fire. You know, when I was a young preacher and I was preaching and I was running around and jumping up and down and hitting the pulpit, I had an older man come to me one day and he said, "Brother Wells," he said, "that's fine for a young buck preacher," he said, "but there's going to be a day when you won't do that." And then I got around a Lee Robertson that had not lost his fire or his fervor, and then I got around just different ones, okay, that hadn't lost their fire or their fervor, and I thought, if they can do it in their 70s and they can do it in their 80s and they can do it in their 90s, then pray tell me, why can't I? All right? But don't allow somebody to quench your spirit. Okay? How is it that we quench the Holy Spirit? Now listen to it now. It says, quench not the Spirit. Well, where is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is in the believer. All right? And so, come here, saint. All right? And so here's what takes place. When the Holy Spirit is inside of the believer, when I quench the spirit of the man, I quench the spirit of the Holy Spirit. Now stay with me, okay? And so when I go up to him and I say, "Now look, you will never be a good soul winner. You understand me? You will never be able to serve Jesus Christ." Don't look at me that way. And you, all right, now wait a minute. All right. And so what I'm doing is this, when I'm hammering him, that's why the children, the Bible says this about our children. It says that the fathers ought not to provoke their children to wrath. You know why? Because when you provoke your children to wrath, is wrath that which is a part of the fruit of the Spirit? It's not. All right. So when you provoke your children to wrath, what you're doing is you're grieving the Holy Spirit. So when you go in and you downgrade your children and you begin to come down on them and you begin to degrade them, you're not just degrading your children, you're degrading the Holy Spirit of God. So you've got to be careful how you talk to people. You got to be careful. Listen to me, sir. You have to be careful how you talk to your wife. You have to be careful how you talk to your husband. All right, now why? Because there's a Holy Spirit of God that lives inside of you. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of God? Now, you see, that Holy Spirit, he dwells inside of you. All right? Since that Holy Spirit dwells inside of you, when I damage his spirit, I also damage the Holy Spirit of God. That's why the Bible teaches here where it says quench not. It means I'm not supposed to put out his spirit. I'm not supposed to dampen his fire. Okay, thank you. Be seated. So if a teenager comes in and he's all excited because he led 2 people to Christ, or he led 20 people to Christ, or he led 40 people to Christ. Look, when they come home and they're all excited because they have led a bunch of people to Christ, then you need to be excited too. Do not quench their spirit. It would be far better for them to be more excited about the things of God than less excited about the things of God. All right? And so this is what it's talking about here. You can take and you can use an extinguisher, if you will, and you can extinguish. You can put out the fire of that which is your wife. You can put out the fire of that which is your husband. You can put out the fire of that which is your children. You can put out the fire of those that's in your Sunday school class. Look, you're not supposed to put out the fire of anybody. You're supposed to ignite that fire. You're supposed to help them get on fire for Jesus Christ, and we're not supposed to be one that liquidates the fire. We are not supposed to do that. All right? When we do that, what takes place now is once that fire goes out, once you use a fire extinguisher and it gets that foam all over it, go ahead and try and light it again. It doesn't light. Go ahead, clear it off. But those chemicals have soaked into a point, into a place where it will not light. All right? And so when you dampen the spirit of your children, listen to me tonight. Please listen to me. When you dampen the spirit of your children, it's a whole lot harder to get them excited again. See, that's how come. Don't get mad if your children are more excited about God than you are. Now, you ought to thank God for that. Look, if my boys get up and they preach a sermon and I think that the sermon is hotter than what I preach, I'm not going to get mad at that. Boy, I'm going to thank God for that. I'd rather them be more on fire for God than less on fire for God. Amen. Amen. All right? And so here's what we see. There's fire extinguishers that's inside of our houses and inside of our attitudes. And we need to be careful. Stand up, Brother Allen. We need to be careful. Stand up, Brother Allen. Here, we need to be careful that we don't allow somebody to come over there and pull, I dare you, and pull that, no, don't, and pull that trigger. We have, no, he'll do it. He's been wanting to do this for years. To you, sir. But we've got to be careful that we don't allow somebody to come up and extinguish our fire. Now, we got to be careful about that. Come on. You say, well, he's always singing and he's always happy and he's always got a smile on his face and he's always jumping around. I'd rather somebody be too excited about the things of God than not excited enough. And so, you know, you got to understand, please understand this tonight. That's how come where the Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Look, if our church ever starts to become a dead church, it's because somebody's putting out the fires. Now, don't let anybody put out the fire. You know, Wednesday night Bible study. Did you know that in heaven they're going to say amen? In heaven they're going to say hallelujah? In heaven they're going to say praise the Lord? Now look, that's the way a Bible study. I'm talking about a Bible study.
Oh, when you come to church, it ought not to be a dead place. Look, don't let some, you say, but the people down at the workplace, they put out my fire. Okay, clean it off, get away from them, but light your fire, get around the Holy Ghost of God, and let Him light your fire and keep your fire lit. Hey, don't let somebody put out your fire. Why? Because it's harder to get lit again.
All right, thank you. Be seated, if you will. Go to your seat of protection. Statement number one, all right? The Holy Spirit can be quenched. Look at Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. You can be seated. Thank you, Dr. Bulkley. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, notice what it says. The Bible says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, that word grieve there means this. It means that you make Him sad. Now, if you're a Bible note taker, it means that you make Him sad. All right? When you grieve the Holy Spirit of God, it brings sadness. It brings sorrowfulness. It brings a heavy heart. It's a private rejection. And the Bible says what I'm not supposed to do is I'm not supposed to grieve Him. All right? Have you ever noticed this? That the Holy Spirit of God, there's only one symbol. Now, the Holy Spirit of God is not a dove. He is not any type of creature. He is a person. So for those that are Pentecostal and you know, you see that they have this dove and they say, boy, that's the Holy Ghost of, and a foggiest idea what they're talking about. He is not a dove. The Bible says that He came down like a dove. Now, what does that mean? That means that He carries some of the same attributes of a dove. It did not say that He came as a dove. But He came down like a dove, having the same attributes. Now, what does that mean? That means if you study a dove, you can understand some of the attributes of the Holy Spirit. All right? A dove is easily spooked. A dove is easily offended. A dove, if you will, please, listen to me tonight, is a type of creature, and that dove has a character that is very sensitive. Very sensitive. All right, so I know this, because He came as a dove. Didn't say He came, it didn't say that He came, if you will, please, that He is a dove. He came as a dove, like a dove. So He's saying this, that He is sensitive. Now, we can understand if somebody is sensitive that they're easily grieved. Oh, okay, watch. Have you ever seen somebody that when they're at the funeral and they don't even know the person real well, but they're standing there and they're full of tears? You know why? Easily grieved. Have you ever seen somebody, and maybe they're watching a film, and there's a dog? The dog has never personally come to their house. Not one time has the dog ate at their table. And the dog has never taken its paw and signed their Bible. There is no personalness that they have with the dog. I mean, there's nothing integral there. They don't even know the dog. They don't even know the dog's name. And all of a sudden comes a Mack truck. And the dog is no more. See, some people said, oh, you know what that means? Sensitive. Okay? Some people grieve over, okay, come on. Some people grieve over things more than other people grieve. Some people, if you're sitting in a room and somebody has tears in their eyes, automatically you get tears in your eyes. And other people think, well, what's your problem? Why in the world are you crying over that? That's stupid. All right, now you see both parties now. All right, now watch this, if you will. Here's what we see tonight. We see that the Holy Spirit of God is quenched. We see the Holy Spirit of God, His presence can be grieved. Statement number next. Statement number three. I want you to see this in the Bible before I tell you what the statement is, because I want you to see it in the Bible, because the Bible says it. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 29. The Bible says, who have trodden underfoot the Son of God, who hath counted the blood, it says, of the covenant.
says, where, listen to it now, wherewith was sanctified an unholy thing and have done despite, it says, onto the Spirit of grace. Okay? So he can be somebody that is despited. He can be somebody. What does that mean? That means he can be insulted. You can insult him. Some people take great pleasure in insulting other people. Now, my Bible tells me that the Holy Spirit can be insulted. What does that mean? That means that you exercise violence towards him. You insult someone. Okay? What does that mean? That means when you insult your children, it's not an attribute of the Holy Ghost. When you insult your wife, if a person insults somebody else, now I'm telling you, now you stay with me, don't get mad at me just yet. Okay? But when you spend time insulting someone else, remember the Holy Spirit never draws attention to himself. Have we got that? He always draws attention to, most of the time, God the Son. You show me somebody that's always insulting somebody else, it's because they have a low self-esteem of themselves. And they feel like the only way that they can hedge up over somebody else is to cut somebody down because they have a poor self-image. Come on. Did you know somebody that does that is not walking in the attribute of the Holy Ghost? They're not doing that because the Holy Ghost does not do that. He does not want to be somebody that is despised. He does not want to be somebody that is despised. He does not want to be somebody that has this harm done to him. Now, what? By the way, if he doesn't want it done to him, then he don't want you to do it to somebody else. Stay with me. Come on. A person that has confidence that God is using them does not have to pull himself up. He doesn't have to do that. He doesn't have to put on the dog. He doesn't have to pretend he is somebody. Look, I've heard preachers that they don't run around and they don't shake the chandeliers, but they got the Holy Ghost of God all over them. And buddy, when they give an invitation, everybody comes. The power of persuasion is not in the delivery. The power of persuasion is who you walk with. The more that we walk with the person of the Holy Ghost, the more that we take up the attributes of the Holy Ghost. Come on. I was preaching over in West Africa. There was two missionaries sitting in the front. One of them was one of the keynote speakers in this particular conference. And he was cutting jokes, and they were dirty jokes. Crude jokes. Missionary. Crude jokes. Everybody's laughing in the vehicle. He looked back at me and he said, Dr. Wells, you're not laughing. I said, I don't think it's funny. He said, well, why don't you think it's funny? I said, because you got a dirty mind. Hello. As I promise you tonight, if you don't clean your mind up, God's not going to use you. And when you give an invitation tonight, very few people's going to come. Because God does not use dirty vessels. Boy, all of a sudden he got quiet. Huh. Wonder why? Because you know when you're wrong. All right, now wait a minute. Looky here. Here's what the Bible says. Okay, he can be quenched. He can be somebody that is grieved. He can be despised. Watch this tonight. He can also be vexed. Listen to it. Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 10. The Bible says, but they, listen to it, rebelled and vexed the Holy Spirit. It says, thereunto he was turned onto their enemy and he fought against them. Now, that word vex is like the word vexation. What does that mean? That means this, that they repeatedly ignore him. He can be vexed, repeatedly ignored. Okay, watch. How many times have you done this? How many times have I done this? You're in a church service. Now stay with me. You're in a church service. Man of God preaches. God speaks to your heart. You know you should make a decision. You know you should go forward. But you say, I'll do it later. Now what is that? That's ignoring him. Now I'm sorry, but you ought to be walking so close to God that somebody doesn't have to get up in your face and point their finger in your face every single time they preach just to keep your attention. Now, thank God for lively preaching, but you ought not to have lively preaching all the time to stay awake.
You know, when I was in Bible college a couple years ago, when I was in Bible college, there was guys that was in Bible college, and they would be taking notes. Then all of a sudden, they would fall asleep while taking their notes, and they would scratch across their page. Now, there's two problems with that. Number one, they shouldn't have been falling asleep. Number two, you cannot read the scratch. So during test time, it's not healthy. All right? Now, wait a minute. Watch this, if you will. The reason that they fell asleep is because they allowed themselves to get in a position of apathy. There was those of us, I worked at UPS for just a short amount of time until I started that business that we started down there. All right, now wait a minute. But as I was working for UPS, and I worked all night, I worked the graveyard shift, and it was hard to stay awake in church. It was hard to stay awake in the Bible classes. See what I did? I went to my teacher, and I said, can I have permission, please, to stand up in the back while you teach? Now, the reason I did that, because it's harder to stand up and fall asleep. Or should I say, it's harder to fall asleep while standing up than it is by sitting down and getting lethargic. But did you know what I found out? I went back there where I could stand up in the back, and I looked, and all over the floor was bodies of college students. Because what they would do is they would go back, and when the teacher turned his head, they would dive on the floor and they would sleep during the class. That is not an idea for Lone Star Baptist College. But may I say, they did not get anything out of the class. Now, here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that you can ignore him. Now, if you ignore him, you're not going to get what you need to get out of life. Come on, how many times have you gone on a trip and you prayed and there was a leading inside of you to get off and not stay on the road and you missed an accident? How many? Okay, where's that soul winning? Yesterday, Brother Wattenberger and I went out soul winning before the evening service. And so he and I went out soul winning, and boy, we're going through this apartment complex. We're knocking doors and we're chasing people and whatnot. And there was a guy by the name of Michael. I can remember his name because it's my first name. Michael answered the door. He was a home health care nurse. He answered the door, and I talked to Michael, and I showed Michael how to be saved, and Michael bowed his head. He received Jesus Christ as Savior, and he said, you know, this is neat. He said, it's amazing that you knew I was here. I said, what do you mean? He said, it's amazing. You knew I was here. Well, I didn't know he was there. He said, I only visit this house 30 minutes one time a week, and this was the 30 minutes. He said, God must have sent you. Well, I can argue with that. Okay, but now, wait a minute. Did you know that a person can vex the Holy Spirit by ignoring him? Come on. How many times you're out soul winning? Stay with me now. You're out soul winning. You knock a door. They're not interested. Knock another door. Slam it in your face. Knock another door. And all of a sudden you see somebody walking across the sidewalk, and there's something inside of you, someone inside of you that says, go talk to him. Now, it would be far better for you to obey that one inside of you than to ignore him. Come on. Listen, I've been preaching in meetings, and in the middle of a sermon, somebody would get up and they'll come pray. You say, but it's not the appropriate time. It's the appropriate time that the Holy Spirit says, you better do something now. How many times have God spoke to your heart and said, look, there's somebody out there. They need a little bit of help. You've got the money in your pocket. You take the money out of your pocket and you give it to them. And here's what you say. You say, but I know their life. I know the way they're living. You're misunderstanding the guiding of the Holy Spirit. He's not judging your obedience on their lifestyle. He's judging your obedience on whether you obey him. All right, now watch this, if you will. So here's what we see tonight. The Holy Ghost, he can be quenched. The Holy Ghost, he can be grieved. He can be despited. He can be vexed. Let me give you one more point, and I'm done. He can be resisted. He can be resisted. Listen to it. Acts chapter 7 and verse 51, the Bible says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised, it says, in heart and ears. The heart is what's yielding. The ears is what's listening
for the heart to understand how to yield. Now watch what it says. Ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. And it says, as your fathers did, so do ye. Now that's terrible. What does it mean to resist? It means this, that you're always doubting him. What does it mean to resist? It means you're always opposing him. What does it mean to resist? Do you know, you can resist somebody so much that they withdraw from you. Oh, Brother Boker, stand up. Help me one more time. This is closing illustration. Ready? Okay. Just talk to me. Just talk to me.
That was true.
Talk to me. All right, now that's resisting. Here's what we think resisting is. Go ahead and talk to me. I'm not interested. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me.
Okay.
You can say anything you want to.
All right.
Your breath stinks.
Yes, sir.
All right? We think resisting is getting in somebody's face and being abrupt.
You're right. That's good.
But resisting is not that. Resisting is when the Holy Spirit does something inside of your heart. You're not outwardly saying no, but you're just walking away. In your heart, you're turning him off. If you turn him off long enough, now you listen to me, says, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. You know, you can turn him off so much that he will not talk to you anymore. How many parents, thank you, watch. How many parents have done this? Now, don't raise your hand, please. Don't do this, okay? But how many parents have done this? Your child ignores you, so you get fed up on the child, and you say, well, what's the use? If I tell them to do something, they're not going to obey anyway. So I'm fed up. What's the use? Now, remember, Holy Spirit is sensitive. Remember that? Remember, Holy Spirit is easily spooked. You pick the most sensitive person in this room, and the Holy Spirit is more sensitive. All right? So when the Holy Spirit leads you to do something, then you're supposed to obey quickly and quietly and sweetly without any hesitation. When we don't obey the Holy Spirit, here's what takes place. The Bible says, listen to it, Genesis chapter 6 and in verse 3, the Bible says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. For that he also is flesh. Now listen to it. Yet his days shall be as 120 years. All right. So he said, the reason that my spirit, listen to it, I'm done. The reason my spirit does not always strive with man's spirit is because he is what? He is flesh. So he said, when you're walking in the flesh, my spirit does not strive with you. So the more fleshly you are, the less of the Holy Ghost you have in control of you. The more fleshly you are, come on. All right. Here's what you like. You like it when I get up and say, hey, the Bible says you're not supposed to take drugs into your body. You ought to be holy. You ought to be right. You ought to be that which is holy in God's sight. Hey, you ought to clean up your act. Walk right, talk right, be right. Why don't you rise up, do what you're supposed to do? That's what God wants you to do. Everybody likes that type of preaching. But when I get up here and I say, look, if you rebuke your, if you provoke your children in a wrong manner, then you're offending the Holy Ghost. You don't like that. You know why? Because he's the quiet one. He's the one that's easily offended. Come on. Come on. We have to understand he is the most sensitive person that you'll ever come into contact with. The most sensitive person. You show me a man. Okay. What was the one attribute that God named about Moses that stuck out? He was meek. How many people did Moses lead? Well, over 1.5 million. Now, wait a minute. Watch this. The greatest leader, I believe, in the Old Testament, other than that which was Abraham, was Moses. But the Bible says that he was meek. Did you know a person that some of the most greatly used men I ever have known in fundamentalism that has traveled America has been men that do not try and pump themselves up? But they're always talking about God the Father.
They're always talking about what God did. They're always giving praise to whom praise is well deserved. You be careful, preacher boys. You listen to me. When all of a sudden you get up there and you preach a sermon, you think it's good. Then you're waiting for somebody else to come up and tell you it's good. And somebody comes up and says, boy, that was a great sermon. You be careful. Don't you be somebody that says, well, thank you. Like you did something. No, here's what you ought to say. Well, praise the Lord. Always give praise to whose praise deserves to be given. Somebody says, well, I tell you what, you wrote a good book. Praise the Lord. Well, you know, I tell you what, you cooked a good dinner. Praise the Lord. Boy, I tell you what, you look sharp. Praise the Lord. Well, you got a sharp haircut. Praise the Lord. Hello. He likes it when you praise him. You know, let that be a part of your life. Well, you're a great soul winner. Well, thank you. Thank you. Boy, you did a great job on your bus route. Well, thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I tell you what, man, you look like a strong man. Yeah, I know. Thank you. Oh, excuse me. Thank you. Why not always reflect the praise to who deserves it? Boy, you got a high grade. Man, you are smart. Well, praise the Lord. Hello. You got a sharp looking haircut. Here's what you do. Well, praise the barber. No, praise the Lord. You know, if we would learn to give him the praise, that's all the Holy Spirit does. He just reflects it. He just reflects it. By the way, that'll help you not to become proud. If you say thank you too much, you're going to start believing in you. Come on. Somebody comes up, boy, that was a great sermon. Thank you. Boy, that was a great Sunday school lesson. Thank you. Boy, you sang great. Thank you. Boy, I tell you what, that's a sharp looking suit. Thank you. Before you know it, they start walking different. Come on. But what if we changed their attitude? Boy, you did a great job in handling that class. Well, praise the Lord. Come on, catch it. Always reflecting praise. And by the way, the more that you praise him, the more that he will allow you to do. Come on. All right, let me give you a closing example, number two, and I'm done. All right? Okay, come here, Brother Garth. Bring your wife. Come here. Praise the Lord. My staff learns well. Come up here, if you will. Okay? Just stand right here. Just face them. Just face them. Okay? I'm your son. I'm your son. You ready? I'm your son. Junior. I look like daddy. Okay. All right. Now, wait. All right. So here's a child. All right. Somebody comes up to the child. Now, watch this. Parents like this. Man, you look sharp. Well, tell mom and daddy because they bought it for me. Reflecting the praise. Stay with me now. Stay with me now. Boy, I tell you what, you know, you're smart. You're so smart. Mom and daddy's paying for my education. Boy, I tell you what, hey, you are really growing. I mean, you're really growing. Well, you know, it's because mom and daddy, they're both good cooks. Boy, I tell you what, you've got good character. It's because mom and daddy taught me good character. Now, you know what that does? That doesn't give me an element of pride because I'm not taking any of it. I'm giving all of it to them. Come on. Come on. If you practice this in your marriage, it would be healthy. Come on. He says to her, boy, that was a, watch this. He says to her, boy, that was a good meal. And she says, it's because you gave me money for the food. And all of a sudden, you know, she says, but you worked hard for it. And he says, but it's because I love you deeply. And then she says, well, the reason that you love me deeply is because I love you deeply. I love you more deeper than you love me deeply. That's going to build a relationship. Come on. But when you stop right here and he says, yeah, that was a great meal. And she says, thank you. Thank you. It stops. It's dead. It's just dead. But what if you reflected it back? You know, what if you say to her, you say, I love you. Go, no, don't say to me. Say to her, I love you. And she returns it, I love you. And he says, you're beautiful. And she says, you're handsome. Don't say beautiful. Say you're handsome. Say, oh, I enjoy holding your hand. See, and they're going back and forth. Now that always, listen to me now, that always builds a relationship. It always builds a relationship. But when we get that self-centeredness, all right, now if that builds a relationship here, I'm done, I promise. If that builds a relationship here, now stay with me. If that builds a relationship here, then all of a sudden, when somebody comes up to you and they say, boy, I tell you what, that was a great truth. And you say, praise the Lord. You can't tell me if this builds a relationship that this doesn't build a relationship. Come on. We pretend to be more spiritual than we are because we like the praise. We like somebody to pat us on the back. Boy, that was a great job. You did a great job. Thank you. It's dead. Well, praise the Lord. Man, that was, you know, the Lord gave me the ability to do that. And the Lord gave me the money to do that. And the Lord gave me these things to be able to do that. Boy, I tell you what, he is so good. Now, you can't tell me he doesn't like hearing that. Amen. And he likes hearing it so much that he'll give you more because few people are doing it.